following tape was recorded on the 3rd of July, 1973, on the porch at the home of Mr. and Mrs. Marvin Long. The voices on the tape are those of Marvin Long, his wife, Martha, and Rob Moore, the interviewer. The Longs live in the residential section of Kendrick, Idaho, in a house built by the original draftsman of the town plat for Kendrick, a man named Kirby. Background noise is the traffic on the street outside the Long home.
And he had a number of business, what we call his youthful business ventures, that are real interesting considering his age. Well, now your junk business, you know that is. Is that on though?
I think so.
Oh.
Let me see. Yeah, it's going.
No.
Well, tell me about your junk business.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh.
Right.
Let's see. When was that back in? Let me get some dates here. What year was it? I said. Well, anyway, I was sick a year. I'd been working the store all the time. I was sick a whole year. Had a nervous breakdown. And the first time I got up with my clothes on, I weighed 101 pounds, so you might know.
Right.
And I sighed behind my head. And all I had was debts, but when I was a kid, I bought junk and sold it. And I started out, and I had a... See, did I have a horse? Yeah, I had a horse. One horse. A neighbor over here. Don't know. He had one of these Democrat wagons. You know what a Democrat wagon is? It's one of those small... Just a small wagon.
Why was it called a Democrat wagon?
Yeah, the little one.
Why was it called a Democrat wagon?
I don't know. I don't know, but that's a nickname for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small wagon. You know, there's two types. There was the big ones they hauled grain in, you know, for his teams, you know, and then they had this little one for their light work, you know, run around with these little wagons.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, I went over there and leased, rented this wagon, and I had a horse, and rented this horse. I think I paid him $1.25 a day rental.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of renting a car, I rented my horse.
Right.
And a wagon. And I went out buying junk. And I made this whole territory, whole country. And I must have owed about $300 anyway when I got through.
What kind of junk were you getting?
At time it was hides, horse hair from the farmers they saved. When Curry, you know how the tails made. That was a good price, but you didn't get much weight of hides and brass, copper, and rubber, old rubber.
Mm-hmm.
Junk.
Mm-hmm.
The regular, I was a junk.
Wool, too, wasn't
it? Right? Yeah, wool. Yeah, anything like you get a market for. And I cleaned up and paid all my expenses that summer. $300. I owed $300.
Where did you peddle the stuff?
I had a State of Fruit and Fur Company. They're still in business in Spokane. I had enough that they... The buyer come down every Saturday, picked it and bought it and shipped it to Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
I had a good market
for
all that stuff.
How long did you stay out on these trips to the ridges?
I stayed out a week. I'd go out on Monday and come in a little bit Friday.
Would you usually travel along one ridge on a trip?
Yeah, I'd take one ridge at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I worked them all. I worked everything around here.
Hmm.
I didn't miss anything. I got a lot of free meals, a lot of sleep. I didn't sleep in the wagon out every night. Invited me in. I stayed one place, stayed a whole week, one place. They wouldn't let me go anywhere else.
How long did you stay in that business?
Well, that summer, until I got out of debt.
Then you went back to work in the store again?
Yeah, I went back to the store. Yeah, just to get out of debt, I couldn't owe a dollar. Yeah, people were good to you, though.
And then the outdoor was recommended, you know, when he was
needed.
Well,
Well, you know, it must have, you know, I weighed 101 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Well, was the store a better business than the junk business?
Well, that's when you went to school, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was just a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I was working for wages in the store.
Oh.
I never got into this. When did I get into this? In for folks, and I come back here in 1920, was it?
Mm-hmm.
I come, let's see, 20, and 1920, I was 26 years old when mm-hmm. I went in with the folks mm-hmm. in business. Of course, I stayed with them until I was the last one left. There were mm-hmm. three of us brothers and my dad in it when we originally started.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, we did farm, had cattle, slaughterhouse, butcher, grocery store, and dry goods and meat.
How did the store business change over the years? You know, like as things changed, you know, as the cars came
in. People come to town oftener and bought smaller orders.
Mm-hmm.
And competition became more keener. They went to mm-hmm. other towns. And,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they didn't drive to Lewiston or Moscow or,
mm-hmm.
you know, wherever there's that.
Mm-hmm.
The horse and buggy days, but that's when the cars come, then you had to get more competitive.
Mm-hmm.
You had to get, just, they didn't go like they do now, but they still went. Of course, it don't make any difference where you're at nowadays with the cars and stuff. The distance from Moscow to Lewiston to Kendrick is the same distance as from Kendrick to Lewiston. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a little, so what I'm getting at, there's a little business sense to that, too. See,
mm-hmm.
there's so much between the two points, you know, how far it is, back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I worked up I knew quite a few people here that went to Lewiston, worked, everybody goes to Lewiston and works a job. You don't have to ask them where they're working because they went down and worked for the Bud Lights for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's their payroll,
mm-hmm.
see. Well, I got a bunch of, I knew went down there and they'd come up on Saturdays and got so, kept increasing. And they come up on Saturdays and put their work with them.
Mm-hmm.
Out of Lewiston. See, mm-hmm. that works both ways, see. If you're not scared of the, if you're not scared of the big town, see.
Right, right.
You got to outfox them, see. So it can be done, I found that out.
Well, when people started traveling more, and you had to compete more. Did you kind of change?
You had to change your way of doing business.
Did you change your line of goods?
Sure. Yeah. You change your way of doing business. You had to get competitive. So mm-hmm. you had to watch your buying.
Like how?
What? Well, just not get stuck with anything. That's all. You know, knew what people wanted.
Uh-huh.
Now there's just certain things they come up here from Lewiston, and there's things I was passionate on. Was work shoes and gloves.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had to know what they wanted, those boys,
right.
from the mill.
Right.
And if you carried it and you had your price and didn't mark, and most of these business firms, even Penny and all those guys, it's a one-way street, you know, and their markup isn't flexible.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why if you find out what their markup is, not how good is, how you can beat them, see?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Find out what they're making a profit on, just you stick me to death, even pennies.
Mm-hmm.
Find what they're making profit on, and all them change, you know. Just get under them.
right. Slip under them a little.
Give them some of their own medicine.
Right. Did you usually, in the early days, did you usually buy most of your things locally, or did you buy much stuff locally, or was it mostly all brought in from other parts of the country?
Well, you had to bring in your, wherever your wholesale houses happened to be appropriate. Your groceries were all your nearest points, you know,
mm-hmm.
like Lewiston. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, of course, there's a lot of Spokane, too. Of course, Spokane would meet, you know,
mm-hmm.
give you a freight rebate or something on it. They'd have to in order to compete down here. But it's a competitive
mm-hmm.
proposition.
Mm-hmm. But you bought your cattle and things locally.
Oh,
then,
yeah, that's all.
Then shipped them out?
They went out, sure, mm-hmm. when we bought cattle. Of course, we've been out of that business for years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people's been out of it, too. Mm-hmm. This isn't a cattle country like it used to be.
Right. Well, how long was this cattle country?
What?
How long was this cattle country?
What do you mean, how?
Well, until when? Until when was this cattle country?
Well, it was more cattle raised around. It's mm-hmm. still a cattle, big country, big range back here mm-hmm. in the mountains. Still lots of cattle, but not mm-hmm. like the other things.
Mm-hmm.
They used to ship out of here. See, they don't do that anymore. It's mm-hmm. all trucked out to Lewiston.
Mm-hmm.
Lewiston's our market in instead of Spokane. That's about the biggest change that's been made. They truck to Lewiston instead of shipping freight to Spokane,
mm-hmm.
which is much easier. See, they don't get the shrinkage. And it's a better deal. The buyers come in. Lewiston, see.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff.
How many depressions did you survive?
How many?
Two, didn't you?
Two, I guess.
What was it like here in your store during the big depression, the 28, 29?
It was a barter deal. If you couldn't barter, you couldn't trade while you was out of the picture.
Huh.
You just couldn't make it.
Huh.
It was just... There wasn't any money, see, mm-hmm. and you just had to, and you, of mm-hmm. course, we had to have a certain amount of money. Sure, it was a trade deal.
What kind of trades were there?
Well, we'd trade for anything that we could sell,
mm-hmm.
anything they'd have.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's mostly livestock in our business, but mm-hmm. we'd trade for beans or wheat or peas or whatever. There wasn't no peas raised then.
Mm-hmm.
It was beans.
Mm-hmm.
Beans and... In grain, hay, anything.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you could turn. Anything is saleable you
right,
trade for.
Right. But then you usually trade that on again to somebody else who wanted it?
Or used it ourselves. Mm-hmm. See, that's the reason we could do it. So you do a trade. Mm-hmm. If we have a feedlot out here and we had these cattle before,
mm-hmm.
and even one time Dad used to feed hogs. After he got out of it, my brother didn't want to have nothing to do with the hog. I never was the outside man. I was always inside.
Mm-hmm.
I remember.
And then you used to ship your excess lard and chickens and things to Spokane and to Pullman and
mm-hmm. all over the country. Yeah. Both poultry and shipping.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whichever way they wanted. If one live, we ship live and we try dressed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you kept going through the depression just by
trading.
Trading. Yeah.
Yeah. Barting. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Was Kendrick a pretty quiet little town back in those days, or was it pretty
Kendrick's always been a good little town.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a stable town. It don't have these ups and downs, you know. It's,
mm-hmm.
You've got a certain amount of people that you deal with. That pays their bills and you can depend on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got that other class, just like they have everybody, that mm-hmm. never pays a bill or mm-hmm. never, you know,
right.
you got that. But if you know your stuff, right, she's all right here. She's
mm-hmm.
right. There's lots of business couldn't you get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have good hardware, have mm-hmm. a good general store. Well, they don't have a general store like I have, but they have a good grocery, mm-hmm. two groceries. Meats, and then they have good dry goods, just furnishing. But I had to see. I had an old fashioned general store.
Mm-hmm.
That was dry goods, meats, groceries, everything.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. All the way down the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't carry ready to wear.
Didn't carry what?
Ready to wear.
Dressed.
I didn't go into.
Yeah.
Men's clothing and stuff. Like
that. Yeah.
Ordered suits, but not. Stayed out of ladies' stuff.
But did you carry hardware and equipment
no,
and stuff too?
No, I didn't have any hardware. No, that's a business of its own.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got a good hardware store in town here now. There's always been a good hardware store here. Of course, it's a good country for hardware.
Mm-hmm. Right, little farmers.
Yeah.
Well, how about like, the social life here. I was talking about a quiet town. I was wondering, you know, was there much to do? I know Mr. Mr. Schupfer there had the in the movie theater for a long time. I wonder what...
They don't see that played out on the count. Television?
Mm-hmm.
Done away with that. Right. Who's going down there and setting an old movie and see something ridiculous anymore on the television set?
Right.
See, we get all the cable, we're cabled in here, and we get all the good programs.
Mm-hmm.
We've got an awful good cable system here.
Mm-hmm.
They look at it.
Well, in the early days, did they have, I know up towards the North County, they'd have up in Potlatch, they'd have once a month, they'd have big socials with all the people in town come. I think this was the Grange Hall there. They'd have a big social of some sort.
No, they don't pay much of that here. The Grange still have their and lodges. Not the social life there is, isn't it?
The school is the center of the social life. Mm-hmm.
School is your center.
I was wondering about
summertime is the swimming pool.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering about earlier on, back when you were a kid, you know, what you'd do to...
We'd have our regular dances, you know. Mm-hmm. That's us young people.
Skating, right. Big roller skating here.
Mm-hmm. Roller skating? Yeah, they had public dances was quite a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they have one or two a year is about all they ever have, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
4th of July was a big event in these little towns, you know. They had big events, big 4th of July celebration.
Did you have parades around the 4th or what?
Oh, sure. They still do. Yeah, they have parades and bands still.
Mm-hmm.
Still do.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't changed yet.
We have ours on Locust Day in
We have
May
right.
instead of
right.
we have that's our
4th of July though.
Uh-huh.
It's better than having done before. Of course nowadays they go picnicking, see.
Mm-hmm.
People don't go celebrations.
Mm-hmm.
That's thing of the past, isn't it? Unless it's a rodeo or something.
Pretty much.
A special event, huh?
Pretty much thing of the past, yeah.
Outside of rodeos, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's about when the rodeo season starts, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't much of a rodeo in town. There are quite a few, though.
Riding clubs have there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They, it isn't exactly a rodeo. Of course, in those early days, these little towns all had saloons.
Mm-hmm.
Kendrick had its share.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think when we come to Kendrick, they had three.
Yeah. How long did they keep in operation?
Well, as long as the law let them.
Uh-huh.
You know, they prohibition come in.
Mm-hmm.
Now they... You don't know it, see? Now, of course, the prohibition's not. Now you don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
There's one place in Kendrick that serves liquor.
Mm-hmm.
And there was two other places that served beer. Well, it's one place still serves beer.
Mm-hmm.
But... You don't even know it.
Right.
They serve liquor down here anymore.
It isn't a gambling hell anymore.
A saloon.
Uh-huh.
Never hear about it.
Uh-huh.
Don't they serve drinks? Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't go there.
I don't either.
Do you think the business community has remained about... The market has remained about the same over the years in Kendrick?
I think it's been pretty stable. Yeah, I think it's about the same. Oh, no. It's went down, of course.
I mean, the kind of market, you know, are the goods and things still about the same class?
Oh, yeah. This town like this is... All they specialize on the staples anyway, you know,
mm-hmm.
What people want, what the farmers need.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on what the farmer needs,
mm-hmm.
what he buys.
Did you, what were your hours when you used to work in the store? Did you have to be there the whole time the store was open?
Well, somebody did. I didn't know, I didn't have to. Well, I was there pretty steady, wasn't I?
I mean, in the early days.
In the early days.
Clerk,
yeah.
What hours did you have to keep?
Well, I never had to cheap on the regular hours, you know. Never that.
How long were those in those beginning years?
We opened at 8 and closed at 6.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought.
But
how many days
some
a week?
Some of them used to stay overnight, you know, and stuff. 6 days a week.
Mm-hmm. Didn't. What were wages then when you were clerking?
When I first clerked?
Mm-hmm.
Dollar a day.
Dollar a day for a 10-hour day?
From 8 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
9, that's 9 hours.
That's 10.
What?
That's 10 hours. Were you clerking first? Well, the first store you clerked in, was that also a mercantile store? Is that a different merchandise store?
It was. With me, you see, they farmed me out. There was four of us brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And there was two mother brothers. Well, I had two brothers. I had one brother who was, well, I guess Tom was in, you know. One brother had it. He never would work inside. And he had a dray line.
Mm-hmm.
And he run that, he hauled all the stuff from the depot, you know, and did all the hauling for mm-hmm. us down. And in fact, they made the store deliveries. And then the other brother hadn't worked in the shop. I wasn't in the business then. I was out working in the dry goods store. And one of them run the shop, and the other, his dad bought cattle and done the butchering.
Mm-hmm. And you worked in a dry goods store?
I worked in a general store.
Mm-hmm.
And I come back here. 20, I come back in belongings that we bought out of this dry goods store. And I mm-hmm. come back to run it. So I come back and so I done over at the meat market, and I kept the groceries and the dry goods just for instance.
What?
And I quit 5 years ago. That was the last of us, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That was
in that first store.
What?
Tell him about the dry goods in that first store, how big it was, the yardage, and the ready to wear for women, men's tailored suits that were ordered, and all that was mm-hmm. done right in that
yeah,
store.
That's what
it was
I told.
Big business.
I told him that.
Mm-hmm.
Millinery, they made
what,
their own hats.
What was the price of things in those days? Like what was the price of a tailored suit, say? If I walked
well,
in and I said, I buy a
tailored
suit.
If you're a plutocrat, why, we'd want to sell you something up around $50-$60.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
if you're just working out here for wages and stuff, why, you'd stick pretty close to a $25
mm-hmm.
suit.
You'd get me inside a suit for $20, $25?
Oh, yeah, $25, yeah, you could buy it. Most any price you want to pay, but generally the guys that want a good suit, the guys that want expensive suits, they generally come in and want you to order them tailor-made.
Mm-hmm.
So we just measure them up and
mm-hmm.
get them tailor-made.
Mm-hmm.
Clothing was really pretty high them days. They were, well, it's high for them time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pretty much in line the way it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't as high, of course. Shoes and stuff wasn't as high. Well, I told you, like me, that's,
mm-hmm.
here's where the shoe business went to.
Right.
50% of it's rubber soles, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
Soles like that. I had so much trouble with my feet, and I couldn't get anything fitting me I could wear. I got broken arches until I got to wearing these, and by gum, I don't know I have any feet. So I just kept on wearing them.
Right.
Families, you know, in the fall, families would come in and buy all their winter clothes. You know
mm-hmm.
that, of course. One trip, they bought all their clothes for the whole family. They'd bring the kids in.
Mm-hmm.
Except one man. Stop. Tell him about the man that didn't bring the kids and got shoes.
And these boys have got family and raised, grown up. I see them and see a kid. Oh, he was close. I don't know whether you call him stingy, but he was tight.
Uh-huh.
Of course, he had a large family. He had five or six boys, and they were just stair steps, teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd come in, and he'd, I think there's five or six boys, wasn't They're all grown now, and these kids have got families. Anyway, he brought these sticks in. Each stick meant a boy, size of a shoe that he could wear. Well, he'd get these sticks, you know, long enough so that you never brought any short ones in, too short. He'd never come back. And he'd work that stick in there and pick out his shoes and get the right ones.
Why didn't he bring the kids in?
He just didn't have decent clothes to come in, and he was that kind of a guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was paying for them shoes, and he was buying them.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have them a chance.
No argument that way.
Right. You'd have to know him to know that.
Mm-hmm.
And they all turned out good, didn't they, them
guys? Yes,
sir. Women, Clement Hayes, your business here in Kendrick. Some of them farmers. Yes, sir, you never forget. I think during the Depression there, we were selling shoes. You come in and fitted them out. I think it was, believe this or not, these shoes was down to $1.98 a pair, these kids' shoes.
Mm-hmm. And that was mostly in barter, too, wasn't it?
What?
That was mostly in barter, too, wasn't it?
Well, he bartered little, but he couldn't barter too much on that deal because it was a good price. He couldn't reach it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't make too much on them, but I have some. I sold them to yourself. $1.98 a pair.
Mm-hmm.
So you know they had to be awful cheap.
Right.
Nail shoes, the soles are nailed on.
Mm-hmm.
That is so. Now leather is what we call split leather. It wasn't full grain leather.
Kind of hard to hear those trucks rolling by. That's okay.
Does that go on there? Them trucks?
Oh yeah, probably. It's no big. It doesn't hurt anything. What other kind of characters were around? Are there any people you remember in particular had any odd, you know?
Well,
odd experiences with them.
The characters that come around those days, we call them. We call them boxcar bums.
Mm-hmm.
There was the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And they were boxcar. People would come in on these empty boxcars, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd come in here and they'd sleep in them too. Jungle. We had jungles around here.
Mm-hmm.
We call them jungles. Hobo jungles.
Mm-hmm. What was that around the Depression times?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We were back there when we first came to Kennedy, up to the Depression. The Depression done them. I guess that's what done away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's never been any sense. They got stricter rules on the railroads, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got... Larry, no, this Social Security done that.
Mm-hmm.
Got work for people.
Right.
See, everybody gets certain aids. They get a minimum anyway, you know. Mm-hmm. They get something.
Mm-hmm.
That Social Security's what done away with that.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have many dealings with those boxcar bums?
Did I? Every morning.
How was that?
Bumming, they'd come in and bum.
Uh-huh.
You'd give them a little anything that you had stale around or something you wanted to drink. Sometimes, scraps, you know. They'd pick anything.
Mm-hmm.
You make up a stew, you know, go jungle, make up a bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, sir, we haven't had any boxcar. There's never been any. That's what data did that when that went out was Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
And that is about when that started. 30s, was it?
I think 38, wasn't it? Something like that, around there.
Yes, sir, that's been a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
These young people don't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're the ones that's paying for it.
Right.
You guys.
Right.
Ever think how much he's going to pay?
Oh, I know. I don't worry about it.
No, I know, but you can just kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But it is what's keeping the country to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's what put money in circulation.
Mm-hmm.
Name anything else.
Nothing.
You can't name it, can
yeah.
you? That's ever put money in circulation like
mm-hmm.
that has.
An interesting pioneer story is his father was in the freighting business before he came to Kennedy. Leland. freighted out here in deals with Lake Hawk County. Did you tell him about that?
Didn't I?
About the freighted business?
I don't think he did, no.
Oh, well, maybe he didn't.
That was before they bought your store, but...
Four come to Kendrick. At that time, before the railroad was built up, you know where we call Air Junction down here, where the forks is, you go up to Orofina and then railroad, and then comes to Kendrick?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a junction. That as far as the railroad, there was no railroad any farther than that.
Mm-hmm.
There was none up the river.
Mm-hmm.
See, Orofina had no railroad. That prairie.
Mm-hmm.
All that prairie country had no railroad of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the closest point, Kendrick.
Mm-hmm.
You see, from Spokane, if they went across, sure, if they went down, they'd pay more for it going down than they'd have more going up. But this was the shipping point.
Mm-hmm.
There and certain beans that go through that wasn't edible, but you couldn't get them out of the cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd have to hand pick them.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, people here, I remember these women, these widow women especially, pick beans off the way they take beans to their houses, they would, home to their houses. And they pick beans all winter.
Mm-hmm.
And pick those beans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess they still do it, Chet, don't they? Where they raise beans and peas for seed, don't they?
I think so.
And pick that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I think they still do it.
Mm-hmm. They haven't come up with anything better yet.
Get certified seed, I still think they have to do it, don't they? I don't know, I haven't been around, but I don't think they have.
Well, after you've gone out and made this money, what did you usually spend it on?
Well, I'll tell you. We wasn't getting very big money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dad was pretty good to us. He wouldn't make us... unless he was working on some good job, you know, or something, he wouldn't make us pay for it. He'd have paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know that when I was working steady in the store and getting paid for the month. But that's when I was sick and buying that junk, you never charged me for it.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you bought your clothes and paid board if you was working out, and you didn't have too much to worry about.
Yeah.
Then we always had to have a weekend, about every week or two. There were dances,
place
to go to.
Mm-hmm. Did they have fiddlers come down and play the dances, or
sure.
Local
they had
people?
Orchestras. Had regular orchestras. They had good music. We had a lot of good music here in town. I don't know. It was pretty fortunate.
Mm-hmm. And mostly local people.
Oh yeah. See, we had a Thomas family. Used to live right over there on the corner. They were all musicians.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this Walt Thomas, he went to Spokane, he was a band leader up there, and during the army, he wanted to enlist in the army in the band. The army said, well, they couldn't take any enlistments, because they hadn't got any leaders, they didn't have any band leader, they couldn't take any enlistments. Well, he says, I'm your man, he said, I'm a band leader.
Yeah.
He took his examination and he let this band all the time, all the ones he went overseas with, didn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That was World War I, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. He went overseas.
Oh, I
can
hear
mm-hmm.
with his band.
Mm-hmm. Well, they used to play, what kind of music would they play for dances?
What?
What kind of music
mostly
would they play?
Violin,
mm-hmm.
piano.
Square dance type tunes or polkas or what?
Well, not much square dance in those days around here. Mostly, when I danced during my time, it was mostly waltzes and two steps.
Mm-hmm.
And about every so often they'd have a quadrille or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What do they call that, quadrilles? Martha?
Mm-hmm.
What was they called?
I think so.
Quadrille.
Yeah.
What?
Probably in your time, they probably still do.
Your time, of course.
I wasn't here.
No. didn't have any motorcycles in them days.
No. It was probably quite a bit quieter back then, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Dirt mud streets.
Mm-hmm. Horses.
Big high board sidewalks right along the top of
the sidewalks are that high.
Yeah, come right up the edge here.
Up out of the mud.
Yeah.
By the street.
I guess it was really a lot quieter then too, wasn't it?
Quieter?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Sure they had a chivalry or something. Or a bunch of drunks sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty quiet. Horse and buggy days. Seen the first cars, motor cars, come in this country.
Mm-hmm. Where'd they come from?
Well, they shipped in.
Uh-huh.
Oh, four-wheelers.
Yeah. What kind?
You've seen pictures of
them. Oh, sure.
Well, I think the one we, the dealer here, I think it was international.
Hmm.
I think they were.
A dealer came in?
International machinery company.
A dealer came into town to start selling cars?
No, there was a dealer here.
Mm-hmm.
These hardware is the ones that sold them. Them they.
Uh-huh.
See that? There was a four-wheeler and a one-seater.
Uh-huh.
Buggy type.
Uh-huh.
That one-seater is funny looking. Did you ever see one of the old ones? Yeah, I guess you have.
I think I have, yeah. What were people's reactions to the first cars that came in here? What did they think of them?
They were excited, you know, and you'd get killed going up and down these grades, you know, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seemed like nobody got killed. First thing you know, everybody was buying them.
Yeah. Did the first ones come in by train, or did they drive in by themselves, or what?
I don't remember. Well, they were shipped. I imagine the distributor of Moscow, I imagine. First one. No, they didn't get so many of them, you know,
mm-hmm.
First. People didn't buy them like they're buying now. See this? The fella got a car to run a... Well, he generally is some kind of a commercial car. He wouldn't be buying one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to go out and buy a car to...
Mm-hmm.
Most of them was commercial cars.
You mean cars people run their businesses with, or what?
Well, yeah, for delivering, you know, and stuff. But when they start to come, they come pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. About what year was that?
I don't know. What year would that have been? Let's see, we come down here in 1908.
The very first one around that time, weren't they?
Well, see, war one was 18, wasn't it? 18
yeah,
to 20?
Mm-hmm.
Just before war, it was.
Mm-hmm.
About in there is when it started.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Did the wars have any effect on life out here? I mean, besides, you know, having something else to read in the paper?
Well, I'll say that poor one putting everybody had somebody over there fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, Dad couldn't go out to work. He'd walk cattle here and stuff. I had a brother over there, front line trenches in War One. He couldn't leave this town until the paper come in about 9 o'clock to get the daily paper and read that casualty list.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much worried him.
Mm-hmm.
Just see whether Tom, brother Tom, was spared another day or not.
Mm-hmm.
That was awful. What they went through with and them parents. Mother seemed to take it a lot better than Dad did. Dad didn't take it.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't take it. Well, it was an awful thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd have to have a son over there in the trenches in order to realize it, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
With some of them. Some of them was making fill in their pockets, and that is good business.
Mm-hmm. Was that even happening out here?
What?
The fill in your pockets?
Why, sure. It was everywhere, wasn't it?
What kind of businesses out here could profit by...
Well, it's what they're selling.
Wheat.
Raising prices.
Wheat.
Wheat winner.
They're
praying for wheat to go up.
Mm-hmm.
The more they killed over there, the more wheat it took, see?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's very, very...
One guy was mourning over his son being over there in the trenches, and another was glorifying it because mm-hmm. it was keeping his wheat price up. Yeah.
Did that same thing happen in the Second War?
Is
that
not
same,
as same bad, thing? No. Of course, it didn't last very long, did it?
Well, it lasted about 6 years.
War II?
Yeah.
But they didn't do much fighting. War I.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't think it was quite as intense. No.
There was casualties.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as rough either.
The memorial to the boys of the First World War was the flagpole in the park down here.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved it just this last year. And the big metal ball on top contained the list.
Huh.
They put it
down.
Huh. They didn't replace that. But they did put up a flagpole. They moved it over by the Second War Memorial there on the corner. The swimming pool is the memorial for the Second World War, but there's a big box with all the names of the boys
mm-hmm.
on the corner there. But this first one had them in a copy of the Gazette with all their names was in that ball on the top of the flagpole. They gave the ball to the kid over here for his museum.
Huh.
I think. Or did they put the ball back? I don't think they put it back. I think he's got the paper in the way it was in there.
Gee, who's that? That's what.
Okay.
The tape going on.
Oh, the tape's
all right.
You can cut it out.
Here.
Oh, it's okay.
No, she's just the girl that's visiting here going to the school. Mm-hmm.
Should have let me set some.
yes. Where is it? What haven't we covered at this point? What other stories did you tell me before we started the machine running that you haven't told me yet? I mean, I'm trying to recall now. You didn't. You. You haven't said much about the time you spent when you were homesteading up. Was it around Leland that you're homesteading?
Dad homesteaded when he come out here in 88. He come out and homesteaded up here on Cedar Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Took out a timber. They call it them days a stone and timber claim.
Mm-hmm.
He homesteads. He had a right to see for that.
Mm-hmm.
And made his living by making shakes and peddling them
mm-hmm.
out on the farmers on Potlatch Ridge.
And how long was he out there?
Well, he's up. When did I say he came? He came in 88, and when did he leave off? 88.
You were real small, you know.
Born in 94. passed in 94, 96, 97.
Mm-hmm. Why did he give up the homestead?
Couldn't maintain. To better himself, he come out and rented a farm on Potlatch Ridge.
Mm-hmm. That was the apple farm?
No, that was a grain farm. And he got Zima so bad that he had to quit farming.
Mm.
And we went to Leland. We got in the meat business.
Mm-hmm. From there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you prove up a rock and timber claim the same way you proved up a regular homestead?
Yeah, if you wanted to take it and develop it, if you had the right, you could. At that time, when he come in here, if he'd got out here on the ridge, he could have got some of this farmland. Mm-hmm. If you'd just waited till somebody throwed it up, see.
Mm-hmm.
But there was you could get a homestead and a stone and timber and a preemption. Just don't know. You had three rights when they first come in here.
Mm-hmm.
They were that eager to get settlers.
Mm-hmm. What was a preemption?
Well, it was just I don't know exactly what it is, but you took up some of the best land we was taken up on. Was it a preemption? I just never quite understood what that is.
Mm-hmm.
When these old timers could tell me, I guess. But anyway, that's what they could have. And some of them got to some of this stolen timber, you know. It just had a few stones on it, a few trees.
Mm-hmm.
And called it stolen timber,
yeah.
And got by with it. But
yeah.
They got pretty strict on that. But this preemption was I don't understand it. I know one outfit up there on the Potlatch Ridge. Well, it's these Huffmans. Very big there. His grandparents. Took up preemptions and homesteads.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a control of a lot of land up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess still is some of the families yet. But that's what they had for rights. That's how eager they was for get people to develop this country.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I think that stone and timber was abused, the privilege on that.
Well, what were you supposed to do with the stone and timber?
Well, you were supposed to improve it. You had certain improvements you had to make on it.
What's the difference between a stone and timber and a regular homestead?
A regular homestead was anything. See, this farmland up here,
mm-hmm.
was all come under Homan's homesteads.
Uh-huh.
But on the edges up there, they'd take fringes. That's where the fringes come in, was the stone and timber is where you was developing stone or our timber.
Oh. Like you're supposed to quarry stone or do some logging,
yeah,
or something
it'd be
under that
stone
thing?
There, if it was that kind of a stone,
mm-hmm.
We didn't have any right in here. But there is sections they do have it here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, up around the mining countries, I guess there's a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, could you get more land on a stone and timber thing or what?
The homestead gave you 160 acres.
Mm-hmm.
All right, your preemption. Give you 168,
uh-huh.
And then your regular homestead. I give you stone and timber, didn't I?
And
then
homestead?
Your regular homestead,
yeah.
160, give you three quarters,
right?
If you was in a position to accept it,
uh-huh.
And of course some of them was.
You have
some
to develop different things,
well,
on each section.
I think, and then if you pull some strings or something too, that's something to do with it.
Uh-huh.
I noticed most of them had that all then, was pretty badly criticized. By the old timers.
Yeah.
I don't just understand it too much.
Yeah.
I'd have to.
Well, where were the people? Your dad just had the stone and timber though, right? Or did he have more than that?
Well, yeah. No, that's all. Well, I think he took. Well, he took up. I think under just the homestead right. I don't think he ever took any stone
and
timber. But it was. He could have. That's the opportunity, I guess, what I was telling you where this come in, that he had an opportunity to get a stone and timber and didn't take it.
Ah.
and you'd always regretted it. See, that you didn't use up that right. Because it wasn't long afterwards that you couldn't do it anymore. So, but he could have had those. You see what I mean? And people did take it. They'd prove up, live so long on this, and then come out and get a stone timber.
Right.
And do the same thing on it.
Right.
Yeah, those. See, three rights. What did I say? Stone timber and homestead. Preemptions.
Preemptions, yeah.
Then you lived in Leland, and your mother ran a hotel, and what'd your dad do there? Well, that's when you had the meat market.
Run the cattle and run a meat market. We peddled meat, we'd cut it up, and put up ice in the wintertime, and these meat wagons would build the boxes on behind these hacks. And there's a place down the bottom for ice, and we'd ice them up in the morning. And take out this, cut this meat up and peddle it all over the Potlatch Ridge. And I was just big enough to go around and open gates. I peddled meat. We peddled it out.
Would you take one road a day or something? Would you have a regular route
we
that
had
you'd
routes.
Go?
We had routes. We generally make 6 days a week. We generally have three routes and make them every other. See how that be? Make them every other day. Yeah. Because you could had to make them pretty often because you didn't have any way of keeping meat.
How and you how would you keep your ice?
We had ice houses. Did you ever see an ice house? Did you ever hear of one?
I've heard of them. I've never seen one.
Well, it's just a building, shed, any kind of a building. Of course, better insulated, better. We used to have our ice houses right over across the alley, right straight across here, in a sheet iron building. And you just build up your ice in the center, and you pack that good with sawdust all around it. And the sawdust is what kept it, and you had to watch it all close to see that your ice didn't get any air connections or it melt. But we'd get pretty well through the season with it. We'd have quite a shrinkage to take it in. After you opened it up, you had more shrinkage. But the cabin was sawdust. You didn't have no refrigerator. Refrigeration.
Then you'd pack the ice in the meat wagon and pack meat boxes in on top of that?
We had the meat on trays and stuff and had this ice underneath. And this meat was all cut and put on trays. And they'd come out to you and buy it, and we had scales there. Weighed it on.
They bought by the pound rather than by the cut?
Yeah, by the pound. Took me along to open gates.
How much did the beefsteak cost?
Every farmer